With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Que siempre la afición se estremece con pasión cuando quedas entre todos campeón. Y se ve frente al balón a un equipo de verdad que esta tarde de ambiente llenará.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Partida o Partida podcast, the English-speaking podcast about all things Atleti. Emmanuel, as usual, is with me. How are you doing, Emmanuel?
I'm not feeling great, but we move.
Okay, hope you're feeling better soon. So let's, talking about Atleti, we'll cheer you up. Let's start with the review of the Athletic game, ended in a goalless draw. Give us your thoughts about the game, please.
Well, for the Athletic Club game, it is a game in which Atleti didn't do much to maybe deserve a win, but also didn't do was to deserve a defeat. It was a statement. I think a draw was a fair result in the game. And look, one of the positives from that game was the fact in which that the Trippier Llorente connection came into play and resulted in Atleti creating his first chance shot early on in the game when wide. So that is a positive from the game. And in that game, I think there were two ways in which Atleti Ocholo had planned for the team to make that connection to come to life, because early on in the season, with Llorente swapping positions, playing at the right wing back, right back, we haven't really seen that connection. But in the first half against Atleti Club, we saw that happen. And that was thanks to Hermoso's switches from the left to the right, or Jose Maria. I think the team were very brilliant in trying to force that connection to come into play, given Hermoso switches the play when he was free, or when he's pressed, he gives the ball to Josema. And since Josema plays, I would say, diagonal, but somewhat of a disguising pass to find Trippier. Then the other way was in the fact that when we don't have an oil, because I'm sure everybody knows after watching Atleti last season that Atleti progressed more from the left-hand side. So with Atleti Club blocking Atleti's progression, kind of recycled the ball back to the right-hand side, drawing pressure, and Atleti Club pressed higher up the pitch, creating space for Llorente to run in behind, and Trippier was able to find him, and he played two passes under pressure. As the game evolved, Atleti Club were wary of that because Atleti repeated that move, and due to Llorente's one-dimensional crossing, which was also helped by static players in the box. I think this is something I have been singing on the podcast, the movement of the players in the box. I think with Griezmann now, we have someone to go to the near post. But with Griezmann running towards the near post, we have every other player standing at the edge of the box, which is not really great. So that one-dimensional crossing made us to be in good crossing position, but not make the most out of it. I think that has been something in which I've been crying over and over. With Atleti Club focus on now on the right hand side, it means that Lodi, who played on the left hand side, had space and room. And thanks to Rodrigo De Paul and Kondombia, they were able to switch play to that side. But Lodi was really poor in the game, given that he has space to run into, and either his first touch was too much, the defender was able to close him down, or he couldn't make the most of good crossing angles. He completed just 1 out of 3 crosses. Well, it is not, somebody may say, well, that's just one out of three is not bad. The issue is that he had so many opportunities to put the ball in the box, but he played the backward pass or his sideward pass, which take away that opportunity for Aliti to deliver a good cross into the ball. I mean, Griezmann in the box and Llorente arriving from midfield, and also in the presence of Correa, we had three players in the box, but his service, his deliveries have been very poor, which has affected Aliti in recent games. So I think, and in the second half also, I think Aliti really defended poor. I think Namatie talked about the fact that we are seeing less fluidity and dynamism and intensity from Aliti, but now we are seeing the fact that Aliti is becoming more vulnerable. We have been talking about those individual mistakes and saying as the season goes on, they are going to adjust, but it was visible against Aliti Club, especially in the second half where the ball was displaced in midfield and Yuzema dived into the tackle instead of stalling and waiting for backup, and Iñaki had a chance. Luckily, he was not able to make the most of it. And same for the chance in which Villarreal had. I think a draw was a fair result. But tactically, there were some positives and there were some negatives, because Lodi's having that opportunity was something which Carrasco should have had and made the most of it. But he was on the bench because of so many fixtures and rotations. And in the second half, Colombia getting injured, we don't have the player to switch play to create those 1v1 situations and wide. So technically, they were positive and negative, but as compared to the Porto game, we improved in the Athletic Club game.
And like you said, the improvement was, mainly because of the Llorente-Trippier connection. Like you said, Llorente couldn't make the most of it with the, poor crosses. But another positive from the game was Rodrigo de Paul's. I mean, he's growing more into the team, and he's just such an amazing player. He's a player Atletico have lacked for so long. I think the most similar player Atletico have had in at any time probably is Thiago, and we haven't really had that kind of player since, have we?
Yeah, I think since Thiago's departure, we have missed that type of midfielder who offers that dynamism. I think we talked about it in the first podcast about him bringing a different dimension to the team. Well, he's very good defensively, wins duels, recovers the ball, and his offensive impact. We posted the stat on the Papot account about his influence in that game. He was first for progressive carries, progressive passes, passes into the final third, passes under pressure. I mean, overall, it was a very good performance from him. And having someone like that is very great. Is great for the team, given he's not only flexible, but no matter the position in which he plays in midfield, he still has the impact on the final third, be it in a deep line playmaker role or even further up the pitch or interior midfielder. No matter the role he has in the pitch, I think he's able to still impact the final third. So having someone like him is great. When you talk about Thiago, but I really think having De Paul gave me, I think since Ada Turan left, we really miss somebody who created that bit of magic for us in the final third. So having De Paul gives me that Ada Turan feeling in the final third. But overall, yeah, I think it's more very similar to Thiago.
Now, Atletico were growing more into the into the game against Athletic as the game progressed, and in the final, I think it was the 75th minute when Llorente had a shot from outside the box and hit the post, but after that, their momentum was very much killed by the João Félix red card. A lot has been said about it. And what do you think? What should it have been, a red card?
Well, it's tough to say. I think, I would say no, because Well, I don't really blame Gil Manzano there. I'm not on that scenario because, well, that is dissent telling him he's mad and you know other things. In my opinion, well, Joao was sent off, and in my opinion, he deserved it for dissent. But about him giving an elbow or the rest, I think that is down to the rule. Well, some referees play like thing. A similar thing happened in the weekend with Hurricane and Kante, in which Hurricane held Kante's jersey and Kante were in trying to break free. He mistakenly touches Hurricane's face, similar to how Joa touches Vencedor's face. But the referee waved play on because he knows Hurricane was the one who initiated the foul. So I don't understand how Gil Manzano was able to rig that situation and give Felix a yellow card for that. It was amusing. Well, La Liga referees have been horrible, even though some have been improving, but we all know how shitty they are. And now we have Joa with two match bans, one for the red card and another for kicking the bottle. So you are pretty much next, you are going to have players getting banned for even kicking, hitting their legs on the grass. So I don't really understand what is happening in La Liga in terms of officiating and also the management. It's really fun.
So it is official. Felix will not be available for the game against Alaves, and he obviously did miss the game against Getafe. Now, about Felix, I can't help but feel like he wouldn't have, you know, talked to the referee in this way if Koke was on the pitch. You know, Koke probably would have, you know, stopped him before he did anything, you know, said anything really to the referee. Now, I definitely do not agree with the yellow card, as you said. And even then, it feels like Gil Manzano should really have thicker skin. Like he's one of the referees that gives away cards more, you know, very easily. One player Felix can learn that from is Luis Suarez. You can see Suarez with some referees, he always provokes them, he always running behind them and screaming at them. While with referees like Gil Manzano, he always avoids them and, you know, keeps distance, tries not to do anything rash with them. So, yeah, I mean, Felix's reaction was kind of justified, but with more experience, he's probably, you know, going to stop doing something like that. But I have said it, and you have said it as well, the red card was really comical, and, you know, La Liga refs being La Liga refs, I guess. So moving on, Atletico in the midweek played against Getafe. We have said that the struggles against the Athletic Club were kind of justified since they're a very physical team. They were one of the most informed teams coming into the game, having you know, a very impressive record in La Liga. And of course, it's always tough to play against a Marcelino side. But despite getting all 3 points, Atletico were very disappointing against Getafe. Can you please give us your thoughts about the game?
I think the Getafe game, Cholo looked for the team to continue with the same intensity, the same passing they showed in the first 15 minutes against Athletic Club, where you see the center backs taking risks, seeing passing means open that in space between two players, and they are able to give the pass, and they were not afraid to lose the ball in the defense. I think he wanted that, but it was difficult for Aliti to have that ball progression or maybe have the courage to do that with three of their best ball progressors out, not in the starting 11. That's Koke, Hermoso, and Rodrigo De Paul. So Aliti really struggled in the build-up phase. And even when they were able to advance up the pitch, they were so, what I would say, they were they were one-dimensional. That means they focused so much on the right-hand side. If you could have seen the heat map for the first half, you see almost everything going in one direction, and at times you had to see Carrasco leave the left hand side, come to get involved in the play. It's like we totally ignored the left hand side, and I wouldn't really blame the players for that, because even when we do send a ball to the left hand side, you have Lodi with his, I don't know how to say, type of crosses. I'm really surprised he hasn't improved that in his game. That is one of the weakest things that has been in his games ever since he arrived at Aliti. And maybe I'll get maybe some fans not happy with me, but I think that is something Manu excels at. That offensively, I think the decision making in the final third, the crossing, those are things Manu is very good at, and it is on display in Osasuna's wide rotations. So ignoring that left hand side was really make things easy for Getafe. But from that game, one thing I noticed was the fact that I think Cholo is trying to form pairs of threes out wide. That means creating triangles. It was a similar thing against Espanyol, in which on the left we had Lodi, Lema and Carrasco. On the right, we had Felix, Koke and Llorente. I think it was the same thing with Correa, Trippier and Llorente on the right, trying to create those triangles so that we can play the ball around the opposition. But Getafe already knew that and they were prepared for it. Even when we were able to bypass Getafe's wingers, our wide players, the delivery from Llorente wasn't the best, like we said, against Athletic Club. And the movement in the box wasn't also great. But thanks to a half chance that Suarez had, he was able to have Athletic's best chance in the first half, and a mistake from Oblak. I think the mistakes we started with the center backs, and now we see that it is like a virus. It is now contaminating players, and we see Josema, Savi, Hermoso, Lodi, almost everyone is making a mistake, and Oblak even makes one. I think that was his first mistake since he made against Real Sociedad, in which he was playing with an injury. So no problem, given that Suarez had to save us in the second half. And Alenas, like Cholo said in his press conference, Getafe's goal in the first half was like a reality check for Aleti. That means it was like, we are not playing well, and wow, these guys are ahead and they deserve it. And I think he also mentioned the fact that Aleti can't keep on playing like that in the first half. We can't play games like that in the first half, because it is not every day we are going to have someone to bail us out. And thanks to Alena's stupidity, I don't understand why he would do something like that when Kunha possesses no threat at the moment. And Getafe were down to 10 men. Aleti were able to create some chances. Soria making a double save. Suarez header onto the post before he finally scored the equalizer and the winning goal in the 90th minute. And that was all thanks to the entrance of Hermoso. I think we may be talking about Cholo not really getting the pieces together, but one thing he's very good at is making good use of Aleti's squad depth, bringing in players to change things and get results. At the moment, it is working, which we give him the praise for, but we don't know how much that will last, because it seems at the moment Aleti are like waiting for the opponent. It's like Aleti are like a sleeping lion who waits for the deer to come and touch his tail before it starts following, even though he is hungry. So I think Aleti need to show that hunger from minute one, like him also said.
And the substitutions really did quite improve the team. First off, like you said, Hermoso was very useful, and he did assist Suarez's first goal with an exceptional cross. Suarez was just onside, and you know, a trademark Suarez finish followed that. And Versalico, well, it was a very hopeful cross that Suarez was able to convert. It's quite nice to see Versalico back in the starting lineup, and I mean, he definitely can be an option. Like, I definitely prefer Versalico playing instead of Llorente playing as a right wing back. So that's another positive to take from the game. And of course, another player that changed the game significantly was Rodrigo de Paul. Now, it has to be said, Herrera had a very good performance against Getafe. His passes were on point. He did create plenty of chances. But I think it's absolutely essential for either Lamar or De Paul to be playing. The team really struggles to create chances without one of these two. Especially with Koke not in the starting lineup, Lemar or De Paul just must be in the midfield.
Yes, I agree with you on that. You have just talked about Herrera having a good game. I think Herrera was maybe a little bit. He's not the most mobile player, meaning he couldn't help in Atleti's ball progression of the pitch. And I think we had this similar situation to what we have against Espanyol in the first half, in which Getafe were able to bypass our counter press, which wasn't good, and the use was Marcia. Marcia was able to drag a center back out of position, hold up the ball, and I felt like Savic and Joseman weren't aggressive. They weren't tight on him. So even though they were able to be behind him, they were not aggressive enough, and he was able to play passes into space and launch Getafe's attack. We really struggled in that first half dealing with him. And that was because Herrera was left alone in the middle of the park with Llorente making forward runs. And you talk about liking Vasilico over Llorente at the right back position. To be honest, we all know Llorente is very effective when he makes forward runs from midfield. But I think no matter the system Cholo has used, he has always made sure that Llorente still has that opportunity to make those runs. I think we saw that against Espanyol, but we have not been seeing it in the current system he's using. So, I'll be honest, and I think I may be the only one on this, I don't mind Llorente playing a right back, given that the system still optimizes his ability to make those four runs into the interior channel, that is in between the center back and the full back. I think it's the same thing Enrique tries to do for Spain. And it is the same thing Cholo has been trying to copy, even though he has not found success. Because at the moment, it looks like we will have to sacrifice one thing or another to have that balance. It is either we have the players of last season keep on going like we did against Villarreal in the first half, or we try to incorporate the new guys and we sacrifice one of the things which were brilliant last season. As for the team, I think Paul, Olema, those two, one of them has to be on the pitch because they are like the spark of the team. That means when the light is about to go off, they are the ones that make it to come back on. So having one of those players on the team is very essential going forward. And with Lema out injured, that means Depor has to play. But I think Chule is trying to manage him because of the fact that the international games are coming and he doesn't have a lot of rest. So that is really detrimental to the team, especially with Koke also having doses, arriving at the period where he has doses, minimal injuries, which keeps him out of the team.
Okay, now you have talked about Lodi, struggles with crossing. Now, it's kind of concerning at this point that I don't think he has improved much since he was signed. This is not only about his crossing, but even his defending in general. It feels like while he was improving in his first season, last season he had very limited game time with Carrasco playing against him. Did that disrupt his progression so much? Like, do you think he would, I know it's very early in the season, and he's not the only guy who's still struggling. I don't know. If he continues like that, would a loan move would it help him with his progression, or do you think he should be trusted some more by Cholo?
To be honest, it is really difficult to tell what has made Lodi to stagnate. Well, it is easy to say game time, and there are many other reasons you can come come up with. I think he needs to be coached. I think that is something that maybe he does it personally, but I think maybe it's an area in which, in my opinion, Cholo can maybe access and try to coach it. So in him not being stagnated, I think maybe down to game time, and in my opinion, Cholo has shown a little bit of trust in him in starting games, that is rotating. So I would love to see more of that. And also, if he can be practicing those courses in training, I think he's going to improve. As for Elonzo, I'm not really a fan of, because Elonzo means we have to bring someone in his place. And we have Manu Sanchez out. Because in my opinion, I see Manu as the future of the left-back position at the moment. Unless Lodi can fulfill his potential, because his off-the-ball runs are really great and causes a lot of danger. But that decision-making and final pass is what is destroying him at the moment.
Okay. Now, we have talked about, the continued midfield struggles in both games. Now, Koke returns to the squad against Alaves. While it's still not certain if he will start, since, he just returned from his injury. But do you think his return to the team would solve those midfield issues, or is it a deeper problem than that?
Well, I think Alexis' issues are not really midfield issues. They are deeper than that, which is structural issues. Issues that is Cholo trying to have the right setup, find the balance. At the moment, what he's trying to do in creating superiorities out wide is leaving the team exposed to counter-attacks. So him coming back to the team is positive, because you have a leader back, you have leadership, and him raising the team morale. But I think Alex's issues are more than midfield issues. But him coming back to the team is really great for the team. And him having minutes against Alaves in preparation for the Milan game will be very great.
Okay. Now, another thing, argument that we have heard is, since Suarez, doesn't have the legs to run anymore, do you think it would be wise to have him as a super sub, like he would be subbed on in, say, the 60th minute, and when the team is looking for goals, instead of having him, it's tough to have build-up play with Suarez, since he struggles so much with these runs. So what do you think of this argument, Emmanuel?
Well, before we started recording, I think I had been checking some Suarez's stats, and they are really brilliant. I think when Suarez came to the team, Cholo talked about the fact that Suarez coming to the team means Aleti has to play higher up the pitch and closer to the goal. We saw that against Getafe, which was the reason why he was able to give us two goals. They also talk about him being that he may not be the player he was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but when he comes to the box, he's still amongst the best. So it's difficult having Suarez as a super sub, because even when you take him off the pitch, he gets angry. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but because he's not happy. Like Cholo said, that many other coaches would have taken Suarez out of the Getafe game because he was really, his performance was poor. But what happened? He won us the game. So it is a difficult decision to make. But given Suarez is getting towards the end of his career, that role might suit him. Because I checking his statistics, he has 506 career goals in 803. He had 506 career goals, in which 303 of those 506 career goals have come in the second half. And that is about 60% of his goals in his career come in the second half. That means he really does well in the second half of game. And Cholo talked last season about his Suarez zone. And I just took these statistics from Mundo Deportivo's article on all the minutes in which Suarez has scored, because that's an outstanding stat. Suarez has scored in every single minute of football he has played. That's from minute 1 to 97. So that is really brilliant. And checking that, I discovered that 119 of his 506 goals have come from minute 75 upwards. That means 25.5% of his goals are coming towards the ending of games. And we know what happens at the end of games. You have tired legs on defenders. You have loose in concentration. So, to be honest, he starts appointing to someone who will be very well, or fantastic as a super sub. But well, it's difficult to keep him as a super sub. And also adding to the statistics, you see that he has scored 14 goals in the 82nd minute and 12 in the 90th minute. That further proves that having him as a super sub benefits the team, because he comes when players are tired, there's lapse in concentration, and they are, which results in many other things, like his goal again, his winner for Getafe. It was on the same shoulder line with the defender, and all of a sudden he's behind him, create that extra space, and has a free header. So those are things that happen, and the stats are pointing to him, towards him being a super sub. And his involvement in the game isn't really great, so I wouldn't mind seeing him as a super sub, but having him as a super sub, I don't know if he will be happy with that. But it starts pointing that he is going to be an excellent super sub, maybe better than Angel was for Getafe 2 seasons ago.
Personally, I don't really agree with it. While your argument is, you know, very excellent, but at the same time, Atletico don't really have any other center forward. Like, they don't have any other pure number nine. They were pushing for Vlahovic in the summer, but we all know how that ended. Signing Cunha, while he has been performing well, he's simply just not a number nine. So, another thing is, you know, Suarez, whenever a chance comes up, he will finish it. Like, he's definitely one of the best finishers still in the world. Not having him on the pitch for most of the game, I mean, you know, a chance could come at any moment. And he's definitely the player you trust the most out of the attackers to finish those chances. So unless Griezmann or Cunha or even Correa steps up and starts bagging them in, I'm not in favor of benching Suarez, no matter, even though, you know, his build-up play has been very poor so far. But, I mean, it kind of was like that at the start of last season. And, you know, he definitely improved that a lot by the end of it. So we'll see how that progresses as the season goes on. Atletico play on Saturday against Alaves. We saw Kondogbia is back in the squad. We said Koke is back in the squad. Felix will miss the trip since the Spanish FA did not accept the appeal, as well as the TAD. They also rejected Atletico's appeal, and Lamar is still injured. Can you please give us a quick preview about the game against Alaves, who have lost every single La Liga game so far?
Well, Atletico could be the could be Atletico's win against Alaves could result maybe in Caligia losing his job. Well, Alaves have been really struggling, which is, in my opinion, surprising. Well, I would say surprising because the team kind of adapted to how Caligia wanted them to play for survival. So I don't understand why he comes this season and he's trying to change that. Well, he brought in, I think, 9 to 11 new players, and he's trying to maybe change the way they play, be more courageous on the ball, and take the game to the opposition, which hasn't been working well for them. So it's good. I don't think it's going to be an easy game, despite the fact that they have lost 5 games in a row. Nothing comes easy for Aliti. But depending on how Aliti plays, it might determine how the goal will go, because they are low on confidence and we are playing away from home. We can use the crowd to our advantage. That is making them not to play well, forcing them back. And obviously, we have to be wary of Jose Leu, because we struggled to contain Marcia in the first half against Getafe. And Jose Leu is somehow of a similar profile. Very dangerous aerially, very good aerially. His movements are great. Then he's also very energetic, can run at the defense for so long. So it's going to be a very, in my opinion, tough game for Aliti, despite the fact that Aliti has a very good squad. Like we said before, Aliti has been trying to put the pieces together and playing against a team like Getafe, a team like Alaves, who are hungry and need that first points, not even win a point on the board. It's not going to be easy for Aliti. If Cholo gets things right and we play like we did against Aliti Club in the first 30 minutes or against Villarreal in the first half, that would be very good for us. Because one of the positives of the Aliti Club game was that we were able to play a higher line despite playing against Iñaki Williams, which I found to be very encouraging. That means we are able to pin the opposition in their own half like we did against Getafe when we were down to 10 men and create some chances. So it's not going to be an easy game, and we have to be wary of the threat Alaves will possess on the counter attacks, especially using Yusilu as a reference point for continuing the attack or maybe to launch the attack or advance higher up the pitch. So we'll have to be cautious, and I will not want to see a midfield duel of us having Llorente and be it Koke, be it Rodrigo De Paul, or even Kondogbia. No. Well, Kondogbia against with him may go, but I don't want that because we keep on seeing Llorente advancing and allowing space in the midfield, so much defensive work for the other partner. So that is something I would not like to see. At the moment, Cholo will have to tweak things a bit. I know there will be rotation given we play the midweek game. So it's not going to be an easy game against Alaves, despite the fact that they are low on confidence.
Moving on, we will answer some of the questions that have been sent for us. Starting with a question from Bert. What would be your ideal five-a-side team made up entirely of current Atleti players?
Well, that's a tough question to answer. Well, I told him it's easy, but I think I will go for more players who are fluid and flexible on the. So I go for Oblak, I go for Hermoso. Well, I go for the dynamism of Koke, and I go for Felix, and I add Korea.
All right. For me, three of the five are very obvious, and those are Oblak, Koke, and Suarez. The other two are kind of tough to decide, between Josema and Savic. I'll probably say Josema, despite the fact that Savic was better last season. I think Josema has started this season better. And the fifth player, it's also tough to decide between Llorente and Rodrigo De Paul. I'm probably going to say De Paul. His ball progression is probably one of the best I've ever seen, and I really want to see more of him. I want to see him starting some more. We have a question from Bryant. Which current team heavyweights are you currently ready to bench for their backup? Emmanuel, what do you think?
Well, that's a tough question also. It depends on what he means by heavyweights, because at the moment, I think the only players who have their position secured as regular starters, in my opinion, we have Oblak, we have Savic and Josema. As for Suarez, with Koke too, I think. But his position has been under a little bit of scrutiny or maybe threatening at the moment, given the flexibility in the lineup to the ones who use this. But I think there are only three or four players in the team who have secure position. As for the rest, depending on the system we play, we keep on changing. So it's really a tough one to answer.
Between your end, he has said... between, let's say, are you in favor, for example, of benching Llorente to start Rodrigo De Paul? What do you think?
Well, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, the way things are going this season, either we continue last season and maybe slow down the integration of the new players or integrate new players and we'll lose something from last season. Bringing De Paul give us those passes in behind, and depending on Griezmann or Korea, we have players who can run in behind, but we will miss the threat of Llorente's run. So maybe what I will say is it will be difficult to choose between De Paul and, like we talk about, one of them have to be on the pitch. It will be between De Paul and Lemar rather than maybe De Paul and Llorente. Because I see De Paul's progressive passes or diagonals or breaking the line passes. I see those passes and you see Llorente as a runner, somebody willing to stretch the opposition back line with his runs. So you combine those two and you have a route to goal. That means we have been seeing the Trippier Llorente connection, and I think we can see the Paul Llorente connection. So it is not one of them, in my opinion, it is both of them.
Yeah, I agree. They're definitely complementary players rather than once you can replace one with the other. It's a very tough one, but let's say if Lemar is back, if Koke is available and the other slot that is left is between De Paul and Llorente, let's say I think it'll be chosen based on form, and based on current form, De Paul, I think he definitely deserved to start. Llorente hasn't been hasn't had his best form in the last few games, so I think I would go for De Paul currently.
I'm somebody who is not tactical expert, but I just think if I have to come down to one of them, Lemar being the team, well, it is difficult to leave Llorente out, because to be honest, apart from say Lodi, I don't see somebody who possesses those threats. The other players have ball to fit. There are players who want the ball to fit. For example, I think the runners we have in the team, we have just Lodi, Griezmann, and Llorente. Those are players who are willing to run without the ball. But as for the rest, you want, they are attracted to the ball. We know Correa is making runs recently, which is great, but he's not really that type of a player. So, it is my opinion, it is so difficult to choose between one. But depending on the system, one will have to go. For example, if Lemar is on the pitch, I prefer to have Llorente than De Paul, to be honest.
Okay. Moving on. We have a question from Bako, and special thanks to Bako. He's always a great support for us. Now, how much do you rate Nelson Vivas? What do you make of him as Cholo's assistant, and how big does he impact the squad? Vivas is has worked with Simeone for a very long time. He was his assistant at Estudiantes, at River Plate, and at San Lorenzo. They had worked together for quite a while. But after that, when Simeone joined Atletico with obviously Mono Burgos as his assistant, during that period, Vivas became became the manager of Estudiantes, and his results with them were exceptional. In 2017, he finished third with them, and he had the same amount of points as River Plate, but despite Estudiantes having let's say a worse squad than River Plate, and he qualified to the Copa Libertadores group stage and was chosen the Argentina Manager of the Year in 2017. He was a very great manager, and it was kind of surprising that he chose, that he accepted to return to being Simeone's assistant rather than continue as the main manager of some other club. But he's definitely a great a tactical mind. He knows Simeone well, and I'm sure he's a great presence in the dressing room. So while we're not very sure what he does behind the scenes and what he has changed with the tactics, we have heard suggestions that he was one of the reasons behind behind Simeone's more offensive approach last season, but you know, those things aren't very clear, so we're not very sure about them. But Vivas definitely is an exceptional manager, and you know, a brilliant complementary to Simeone.
Well, I think you have said everything they used to say about Nelson Vivas, about him complimenting Cholo. And I think each time, I think you see Cholo looks at the game, and maybe before a substitution or maybe before he changes the system, you see him asking Vivas his opinion, or Vivas coming and telling him what he has seen that is not going. And we have seen Cholo talking about fluidity, intensity, and creativity. Well, those are things which are maybe coming out so much this time, maybe because of Nelson Vivas being in the team and the rest. But he has always talked of intensity and the rest. We're talking of being fluid in attack, move the ball faster. Well, we have always had moving the ball faster in transition, but now moving the ball faster to move opponents around. Well, that's something new. Well, I think Nelson Vivas may be behind that, but like you said, we don't know for sure.
Great. So those are all the questions we received. Thank you for everyone that asked them. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much, Emmanuel.
It's always fun talking with you all. At the start of the podcast, I wasn't really feeling great, but talking about Aleti with you has, well, changed my mood, and I'm smiling now.
Always great to help, and thank you for listening. See you next time.
Echando coraje, corazón. Atleti, Atleti, Atlético de Madrid. Atleti, Atleti, Atlético de Madrid. Jugando, ganando, peleas como el que siempre la afición se estremece con pasión cuando quedas entre todos campeón. Y se ve frente al balón a un equipo de verdad que esta tarde de ambiente llenará. Yo me voy al Manzanares, al estadio Vicente Calderón, donde a millares, los que gustan de un fútbol de emoción, porque luchan como hermanos, defendiendo sus colores, con un fuego noble y sano, derrochando coraje y corazón. Que siempre la afición se estremece con pasión cuando quedas entre todos campeón. Y se ve frente al balón a un equipo de verdad.